Hey, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. Are you new to investing and have savings you need to protect right now? With the Middle East war, the Ukraine war, and maybe Taiwan soon, need a new playbook that is safe. Allocate some gold now and avoid the frenzied panic of the unprepared. When fear reigns, gold protects the wise. Noble Gold Investments offers a free 5-ounce America the Beautiful coin with new IRAs this month. Shield your savings with a Noble Gold Investments IRA. Go to noblegoldinvestments.com. Noblegoldinvestments.com, the only gold company I trust. That is noblegoldinvestments.com. Hey, everybody. Happy Saturday. It's Thought Crimes. It is a spicy conversation with Tyler Boyer, Blake Neff, Jack Posobiec, and yours truly. Canceling Candace and also the Department of Defense. Drone strikes. Turning Point Actual. Not quite, but you'll love this. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thought Crimes is brought to you exclusively on Rumble every week. So download the Rumble app, RUMBLE.com. That is Rumble. Check it out, the Rumble app. They do such a beautiful job. So check it out. That is the future of free speech online is found on Rumble. Come to AmFest, everybody. You have got to get your tickets today to AmFest. It's been there for a couple years. It is a game-changing, life-changing event. It has secured the title of the largest multi-day conservative gathering in history. You know, over 10,000 people attend. You better get your tickets. They're popping. AmFest has an electrifying environment, leads the charge to fight the American culture war. As we bring you to the epicenter of freedom, the speakers are unbelievable. You might ask, well, when is it? It's December 16th, 17th, 18th, 19th, 20th. And come on, I mean, these speakers, hold your phone. Tucker Carlson, Glenn Beck, Patrick Bet-David, Candace Owens, Rob Schneider, Roseanne Barr, Dennis Prager, Allie Beth Stuckey, James O'Keefe, Riley Gaines, Ben Carson, Jason Whitlock, Gad Saad, Brandon Tatum, Seth Dillon, Jack Posobiec, Benny Johnson, Yanmi Park, Michael Seifert, James Lindsay, Steve Bannon, Eric Metaxas, Donald Trump Jr., Josh Hawley, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Matt Gaetz, and bigger names than even that to be announced soon. So get your ticket today, amfest.com. That is amfest.com. You're going to really love it. I think when you come, you'll meet new people. Maybe you want to find a husband or a wife. Come to AmFest. Find a best friend. Come to AmFest. Have kids that you're afraid are slipping to the liberal side? Go to AmFest. Have conservative kids that you want to give them the best Christmas gift ever? AmFest.com. Meet your heroes. See them in person. Plus, there's breakouts and media row. It's an incredible, incredible event. AmFest.com. Just coming in a couple weeks, Phoenix, Arizona. We're doing our show live, by the way, from media row. Love seeing all of you taking selfies. It's great. We spent a couple hours there last year. It was really amazing. AmFest.com. This 4-day event is packed with empowering speakers, hundreds of patriotic partner organizations, and the America-loving community that you have been searching for. Don't miss on the amazing concert, too. And let me just, I mean, come on. Tucker Carlson, Candace Owens, Rob Schneider, Roseanne Barr, Dennis Prager, Allie Beth Stuckey, James O'Keefe, Patrick Bet-David, Glenn Beck. I mean, just drop everything and come to Phoenix. AmFest.com. AmFest.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the loan experts I trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com.
Happy Thanksgiving week of Thought Crimes. Honored to be with all of you. I'm here at Calvary Chapel Signal Hill with my great friend, Pastor James Cadiz, speaking tonight. And joining me are my co-conspirators. We have Jack Posobiec, who just saw the Napoleon film, and he's going to be reviewing that time.
So yep. Bad.
Great. Okay. That topic's done. Never have to say it again. And Blake Neff, who is
so bad.
So Blake Neff, who is deciding to spend Thanksgiving in Krakow, Poland, totally normal. And that's not a joke, by the way. He leaves for Krakow tomorrow, which I think is hilarious. And Tyler Boyer, who is the most viral member of the Turning Point team today. And this is the following story. The U.S. Air Force is publicly warning personnel against attending a Patriot Rally event in North Dakota because an alt-right member of Turning Point Action would be at the event. The warning said, quote, participation with groups such as Turning Point Action could jeopardize continued service in the U.S. military. Tyler Boyer, explain yourself.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of a low-key. I mean, every one of us here has been to a Tea Party meeting or two in our time, right? In our day. Blake, especially, right?
Yeah, probably.
Blake used to run a Tea Party.
I mean, I've also been to, you know, normal Tea Parties, of course. So.
And that's pretty much what this was. This was like, this is the conservatives that exist within Dakota. And I don't know if you know Burgum, who's running still for president. I don't know why.
He's still running.
Fury, he could become president.
Everybody, you know?
All the other candidates were to die and it was too late to add anyone else to the ballot, I suppose he could become president.
So Burgum's running in, is from North Dakota. He's the governor of North Dakota. All these people hate him. He's the this is the conservative group that's trying to protect all the conservatives in the legislature there. So they invited me to speak. It was like 500 people. It was a great event, barbecue. They raffled off guns, normal Tea Party stuff, right?
So the event's already happened.
Yeah. And so I show up, I speak, and then afterwards I get blown up with all these messages from people, friends that are in the military and in the Air Force. They're like, did you see this? This is like everywhere. And it was like telling everybody to like avoid us because we are all right or something. I'm all right. That was an all right speaker at this event. And yeah, and that was it. And like I actually texted Charlie right after. I was like, I think this is going to be big. It was like, oh, it's like a little event in North Dakota. I don't think it's going to go that big. And then all of a sudden, like, I'm in the dentist today, this morning, and like, it was going crazy. So
why did you accept hatred into your heart? Why did you embrace extremism? Why did you become a domestic terrorist?
Yeah. Is your dentist all overnight as well? Is that something your dentist does? Do you have a racist dentist?
My dentist is Middle Eastern.
So he's definitely racist then.
So probably.
He's the kind of...
Yeah. I was going to say, yeah, so probably. So, yeah, I mean, that was it. And then, like, these people, like, the nicest people ever, good conservatives, they're, like, kicking butt up in North Dakota, really pushing them back against Burgum, who's done, right? Like, these toast. And, yeah, they came out of them. They're like, this is crazy because Minot, North Dakota, it's, like, literally on the border of Canada. It's in the middle of nowhere. They have an Air Force base there, and like 98% of them are probably like super conservative.
Well, we can't assume that anymore because it's the U.S. military. So, you know,
it's North Dakota.
Some of them might have joined to get taxpayer funded mastectomies or something like that.
Probably. That's probably it. That's probably a solid.
So I want to get this straight. So the U.S. military essentially said that their members were banned from hearing Tyler speak because he had committed too many thought crimes, and that if they went to hear Tyler speak, which I mean, just admittedly probably isn't the best use of anyone's time to begin with, but if they went to go to listen to you speak, that it would jeopardize their military career. The same U.S. Air Force, by the way, that just crashed a P-8 into the ocean off the coast of Hawaii. That Air Force.
Yes, cool. same Great. Exact Air Force. But we're going to have to change the logo of the show because we've got those kind of artsy outlines of Charlie and Jack. But now Tyler is the actual thought criminal.
I'm the criminal. Like, I didn't think I was going to make it across the border out of North Dakota.
You're kind of the dark horse candidate here. We thought, you know, Tyler's the guy in the background. Tyler's the guy who...
I thought they were going to stop me at the airport, honestly, in North Dakota.
You might never be able to leave this state again. If you go to the airport...
Well, I mean, we've got DOJ, J6... Attorney General's office. Now I got the U.S. Air Force. I mean, we're just stacking them up, right? So, I mean,
yeah, you know, we have our terrorist suspect list, people who can't enter the United States. You might be on the list of every other country. So you can't leave the United States. You can't board a plane.
Well, one of the guys that's one of our influencers at Turning Point, like our ambassadors, was like, Tyler's like this really nice dad from Arizona. What is the Air Force afraid of? Like a dad from Arizona. I'm like, great, yeah.
Yeah, well,
when Charlie's the governor of Arizona, hopefully he'll have some swing to be able to get you off the list, buddy.
Yeah, I mean, I might need to be...
we'll need swing to keep you from swinging.
I might need someone to commute my sentence, you know?
Whoa, I'm not the Mormon around here.
Yeah, so, I mean, so it wasn't that crazy of a thing, but it is... The bigger thing that's crazy is that they're tracking Turning Point action. And all we do is register voters and recruit precinct committeemen and precinct captains. That's like all we're doing. And you have all these groups. Like, this is what's so crazy. This is what people have to be aware of right now that's happening out there. There's not very many conservative groups that do this stuff, right? Like, Charlie knows. Like, we're one of the only ones that do it. The left has hundreds of organizations that do this. Hundreds. Like, each state has 50 to 100 of these organizations. And they're literally trying to prevent and doing everything that they possibly can to make sure that we don't do this work, which tells you that we're like right over the target, I guess.
Yeah. And to get into the bigger thought crime issue of this, it's that this is so obviously going to be the ramification of, back in 2021, just after January 6th, there was that military stand down order where they all got the speech that, you know, the members of the military aren't allowed to join extremist groups and they're going to be tougher on this. And it took us, 28 months or so for that to just turn into, you can't listen to someone from Turning Point Action speak.
Well, actually, even before then, if you remember when they were bringing the National Guard members into like the week of January 6th, when they declared that the National Guard guardsmen were going to be coming into D.C., they occupied D.C. for a period of months all the way up through, I think it was March or May of 2021. I just remember the barbed wire being all around the Capitol, troops marching up and down the square, like it's a Monty Python sketch or something, but fully armed, Humvees everywhere. And I remember them saying they wanted to, because the Democrats in Congress and Pelosi were saying, we need to be sure that these troops are loyal. So they said, we're going to start going through their Facebook pages and going through their Facebook likes. And inside the Pentagon, some of the things they were targeting were like the Gadsden flag. If you were a member of any pages that used that, or if you had posted that, they were looking at MAGA hats. They were looking if you had liked or interacted with NRA content. And one of the other pieces on Facebook was whether or not you liked or were a follower of Turning Point USA.
Well, I will say this. I think that the people of Minot, the few liberals that exist in Minot, North Dakota, they were excited. Why not Minot? That's what I learned.
Why not Minot?
That's where they have the that's where the state fair is for North Dakota. Anyways, that's where we were at. We're at the state north. I think they thought that this is like the only big public building in Minot, probably, is the state fair, whatever that the building that we were in. I think they maybe thought this was like the liberals thought this was like their Capitol riot opportunity. So they're trying to,
If you look at the old, if you look at the old Soviet or the old estimates the U.S. military did of what would get hit in a nuclear exchange with the Soviet Union, Minot's got an Air Force base and it's got all the ICBMs there. So if you look at the map, they lob a couple nukes at New York and then they drop about 500 nuclear weapons on Minot, North Dakota, and it basically just obliterates the state. Yeah. And so really they were just anticipating that you might be there.
That was it.
And that's why it had to be destroyed.
Yep. So
Charlie, what is this really? Let's wrap this up because I know we have other stuff we're going to get to, but Charlie, I know you covered this on the show today, but give us your take after you've had some time to think about this. What does it mean that, Tyler Boyer and the just Turning Point Enterprise are now being treated this way by our military? And the fact that, by the way, I believe there's been some senators that have responded to this.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I'm really proud of Tyler that he's finally joining the gang and he's on the list. So it's
I've been on the list, Charlie. You put me on the list a long time ago.
I'm very proud of him. I got to be honest. I saw this. I said, this is really good. This is what we do at Turning Point. We create new influencers and voices. And when I said, wow, when I'm just spending a weekend in Phoenix, we can get the Department of Defense fired up over Tyler. I said, that's really amazing. I said, we
barbecue.
It really was great. No, I'm very proud of him. And by the way, it's about the work we're doing. A lot of dimensions here. It's clear the Department of Defense is declaring war on us. It probably was somebody at the high level of the Department of Defense that doesn't understand Turning Point, and they're going to pay for this. There's going to be hearings. We're going to find out, is there a written policy of the Department of Defense? We're entertaining lawsuits. The law is very clear. Precedent is very clear. And by the way, some people are misinterpreting this intentionally. They say, you can't, when you're in uniform, go to, certain events. They know those rules. Not what this is. Mm-hmm. No, no, no. they know those rules. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about on private time, off duty. This is about getting removed from rank, getting removed from the military based on like terrorist type activity. And so this is completely different. But yeah, look, the big takeaway that I think we need to get drilled down to is how widespread is this happening? This has struck a chord because it's the military, and of all places, the military should be welcoming of pro-American type ideas. By the way, who's actually staffing the military? It used to be the people staffing the military were primarily conservative, center-right, patriotic. Not anymore. I mean, it's changing rapidly, unfortunately. And that's why recruitment is going down so dramatically and so intensely. And so, look, there's a lot of takeaways here. We're going to be pursuing legal action, and we very well might be going to Minot, North Dakota sometime soon to go do an event. I'm not going to put up with this. This is that I've been encouraged by the response by Republicans. It's been pretty good. Hopefully, I mean, Corey Mills wants me to come testify. I would love to testify next to John Kirby and Jake Sullivan in a Armed Services Committee. Jack, do you think that would be fun?
I think that would be amazing because Jake Sullivan would spend the entire time like wiping that comb over that he has. And so he'd be like trying to stick it up the entire time on his head. Please, Charlie, please don't bring up Russiagate. Please don't bring up the dossier that I helped get to the FBI during the 2016 election. Please don't let anyone know that I was the direct cutout between the Hillary campaign and James Comey. Please don't bring up any of those things. And then Kirby, I mean, the guy is just completely lost up there. I mean, you talk about a guy like some people, at least, you know, you can give them credit because they're good at spin. They're good at running angles. They're good at tap dancing. He's just an idiot. I mean, Kirby is just an absolute idiot. And he's been an idiot since Afghanistan, since the fall of Afghanistan and our grotesque pull out of there. And I think, Charlie, you would just be kind of running absolute rings around them. So I guess for a good AmFest warm up, you could go and absolutely destroy these guys down at the U.S. House. But I'd also love to say that since we are live for once, just throw out, if anyone is from North Dakota, let us know in the comments. Would you like us to come up there? Would you like us to do an event, do a live thought crime? Let us know.
Yeah, and to add to that, I know that we have some lag issues and the team is doing great navigating those. I would love to just ask some basic constitutional trivia of our armed forces. And Jack, you hit it perfectly. Look, I mean, military mistakes happen, but they're certainly mounting lately, aren't they? There's a lot of military mistakes happening, training exercises and blunders. When they prioritize the intimate movements of the rank and file to can't go to hear Tyler Boyer, then we got some serious problems. I mean, I'm sorry. I will say it again. Been working with Tyler for 9 years. It'll be 9 years in January.
The funny part is like people are like, he's on the RNC. Like I'm literally on the RNC. Like it's not like this is like a Charlottesville type, you know, really.
So you're just saying the RNC is an alt-right organization.
The RNC is alt-right. Yeah.
Maybe we misjudged, you know,
maybe there's a lot.
Maybe we misjudged
more
Rana.
There's a lot more meat
RNC's
on the bone.
That right wing. Yeah. You know, maybe.
We're not allowed to talk about what Rana does at the, you know, the secret meetings of the 168. Now that's, you know, with the hoods and the torches, you know, that's going to get, we're on Rumble. Torches. We can talk about it a little bit, right?
Yeah. I mean, it was in the Nixon tapes. He talked about the Bohemian Grove a bit.
Yeah. I mean, maybe we shouldn't have done the tiki torches leading into the North Dakota rally. Maybe next time.
Tyler, come on. You can buy. Look, you don't have to wear all white golf shirts, khaki shorts. Come on. It's winter to begin with. North Dakota, it's a little, I don't know.
Yeah, it was a little scary. That some bad choices were made.
Bad choices.
Let's get to our next story. Canceling Candace Blake. I think you are perfect to drive this.
All right. Yeah, sure thing, Charlie. So here, you guys can, if you guys want to bring it up on our screen, we can show everyone the article. So this was published in Front Page Magazine. So there's an organization, the David Horowitz Freedom Center. David Horowitz was a progressive who later moved to the right, set up the David Horowitz Freedom Center to promote conservative ideals. And they notably are one of the places that Candace got her start, she was invited to an event of theirs. I believe that is, in fact, where she met you, Charlie. And, you know, then she worked with Turning Point, became a big star, and has been around ever since. But obviously, you know, we talked last week about her little tiff with Ben Shapiro, some of the stuff she'd said on Twitter, now X. And some people are taking it badly, and the David Horowitz Freedom Center is among them. So they published this piece, Goodbye Candace, and they suggest that Candace is complicit in bringing about, I am not making this up, a second Holocaust. I'll just read the quote because it's remarkable. The David Horowitz Freedom Center wishes to express its deep disappointment with Candace's ignorant, hateful, and morally obtuse remarks about Israel and the Jews. But of course, it's not just about the Jews. The Jews are the canaries in the mine. The West is next, and America above all. It's one thing to have been alive in the 30s and not realized where the Nazis were headed. It is quite another to be alive during a 75-year campaign by Islamic jihadis to finish the job that Hitler started and to fail to stand against their open campaign to create a second Holocaust. So that escalated quickly.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm friends with everyone involved. I'm really close with David. I actually think I wrote either an intro or a dedication to David's book. And David's been really good to me. And obviously, I'm going to talk to Candace almost every single day. And I think really highly of her. This this exposes the fault line that we saw coming. And I want Jack to riff on this, but let me kind of segue here. Because we saw this kind of fault line growing, which is the Israel issue is breaking the left, but it's simultaneously also not breaking the right, but it's not helping. And it's exposing some of these lines. And I mean, I'll let David speak for himself and the Freedom Center. They've been really good to me. And if, you know, people can agree or disagree or go back at it. I think some of that is very charged language. And, you know, Candace, I think, at least in my estimation, has deserved better than that. But there's a lot of personal things underlying there. But I will say this. Friendships are being ruined over this. And I think as an onlooker, it's a tragedy. It's a reality, but it's a tragedy. I have not seen this heated discussion. I thought the primary is what was going to divide right-wing politics in 2023. I think Jack agrees. Jack has been basically a belligerent in the dividing of the right.
I didn't start that.
All Jack is trying to do is you must be this tall to go on the ride for the GOP.
I am a Napoleon defender.
I'm on Team Jack 100%, but Jack has definitely been involved in the primary wars, and he's been awfully effective. I mean, he's winning and they're losing. But I think we would all agree that we thought 2023 was going to be the year where the right was divided over DeSantis v. Trump and Nikki Haley v. DeSantis, and it looked that way. I mean, remember in the spring and the early summer how nasty the influencer wars were? I mean, some of these articles that were being written and the tweets and the exposés, I mean, it was nasty. I can now say that the Israel issue has reached a whole nother level. And this is an example that I was there at the David Horowitz Freedom Center. It's where I met Candace. It's where I offered her a job. I just spoke at David's deal last year. And I think what he's done to the movement is incredible. I think what Candace is doing for the movement is incredible and super. So I'm friends with both of them and I'll remain friends with both of them. And they both hate the left and they're going to keep fighting the left. I do think that there's a part that kind of the straw that broke the camel's back that isn't included in this article, which is Candace's discussion with Professor Finkelstein from Princeton, who got in a huge dispute with Alan Dershowitz years ago, accusing him of plagiarism, and is one of the most hated intellectuals in pro-Israel circles. And Candace had him on the show. And I think that's probably what set off the David Horowitz Freedom Center, in addition to many other things, but I'm just speculating with that. But Jack, can you riff on this for a second? Because, you know, having stating that we're friends with people on both sides and reiterating that, and clearly, I think we can also look at this, you know, from a 35,000 foot view. We thought that the DeSantis Trump, you know, primary was going to be the bloody, glorious English Civil War revolution. We were wrong. Out of left field, you know, the most deadly day of Jewish killing since the Holocaust, 1,500 Jews. And the reaction that came from it is actually what is dividing the right. It is very fascinating. Jack, how should we think about this?
Yeah, it's really amazing reading this. David Horowitz and I first met almost 20 years ago. So show my age there a little bit, but it was when I was in college. It would have been 18 years ago when we first met. That's when we were doing Students for Academic Freedom, when I was the College Republican chairman at Temple University. And we actually sued, because Temple is a publicly rated school. We were able to sue our teachers, basically, in open Pennsylvania legislature. We brought members of the state legislature. And keep in mind, this is before Twitter, before social media even existed. The blogosphere was still a thing. Rush Limbaugh dominated the airwaves. You know, this was the conservative movement back then. This is even pre-Tea Party. So it's almost a pre-Tea Party kind of grassroots activism that really I consider David to have been a mentor, someone I looked up to and still do look up to very much. But I just mean for all these years. And then, of course, going to the events, volunteering at many of the events, the restoration weekends, going back just years, over a decade. Almost two decades at this point. And so everybody at the Freedom Center knows how much I love them and how much I care about their work. And I think, though, that when we create these types of firing squads, these circular firing squads about cancellation, right? And canceling people because we have a disagreement over a specific issue. And it's interesting to me, I guess what I would say is to ask people, what is the specific policy of Candace's that she has iterated or promoted or stood for that you disagree with? Because when it comes to just, okay, tracking down Hamas, wiping them out, getting them off the map, turning Hamas into hummus, turning them into pico de gallo like Soleimani, I don't really see much disagreement there. But you know, this has been one of the huge things. And of course, we talked about this last week. But, you know, the idea that we're going to cancel Candace over this because people don't like her tone. People don't like and that's really what it comes down to. It's tone policing and concern trolling. This idea that Candace isn't allowed to do the same thing she does to every single other issue that she looks at, whether it be Ukraine, whether it be vaccines, whether it be BLM. She says she asks pointed questions. She wants to figure out what's going on. She wants serious answers, and she refuses to go along with emotional arguments. That's the Candace Owens that I know. That's the Candace Owens that I see present herself to every single issue that she's ever gone after. And so I don't think, and obviously with great passion, because I mean, it's Candace after all, right? So I don't think that she's really changed her stripes here in any way. It's just that, you know, it's just that this issue, and obviously coming on the heels of such a horrific attack, I think for a lot of people, it's very emotional. There's a lot of, you know, emotions are high, passions are high. But I do think that it just doesn't make sense that we're going to, you know, go around and start shooting people inside our own tent over politically. And I think it's great, by the way, and I'll just throw it out there. I said this on Twitter, but I think it's great that on the same day that we saw people calling for Candace to be canceled, a lot of conservatives that I look up to shared this article, echoed these sentiments. And I went and looked and I saw over at the Turning Point America Fest site, Candace's name was still there, was still featured prominently. I think the top row a little slightly higher than mine, but that's probably because her name is just a little shorter. That's the only reason. And I thought it was great. The Turning Point was sticking with her for this event the same way that they stuck with her throughout all the years.
100%. By the way, we're not going to back. Are you kidding me? I mean, Candace is she's on our team. She's the best, right? I mean, we're on Team Candace. And I'm also, you know, I'm on Team Freedom Center, too. But you know, I got a text message from some lunatic. Charlie, why do you have her still speak at an AmFest? I said, lose my number.
Wow.
I said, you obviously haven't been through the Tyler remembers the Charlie Candace thing. I mean, from
everyone thought you were married. They thought you were married. Rumor, Charlie. They were like, are they married?
Oh,
rumor.
Oh, it was
that one got me.
Very unsubstantiated internet rumor.
Yeah, that's not true, but
it's not true. Okay,
I'm remembering some choice memes that I definitely don't have saved on my backup hard drives.
I disagree with Jack. Can I take a moment to thought crime Tyler, Jack right now? I disagree with Jack. She's not higher than him on the graphic because her name's shorter. She's higher than him on the graphic because he's a white male.
Wow. Wow. Racism. Racism at turning point confirmed. You know what? Maybe Tyler is
all right. Blake did that. Blake was the one.
Tyler is all right after all.
Wait, no, no. White males. I'm woke. This is the woke
anti-racist.
Yeah, we're the anti-racist. I'm trying to make up for my not.
All right. Yeah, I guess. Okay. Well, we'll accept the new you, Tyler. We're a forgiving organization. Unlike all the people, I'm looking at all around. There's so much insane stuff being published here. So on National Review, Jade Nordlinger is blogging at The Corner, their blog, and he just has his rundown of different things. And his response to, I think Charlie was right, it was the Finkelstein interview that really set people off. He replies to this. He links the video on Twitter, and he says, "This was inevitable, written in stone. And where there's Finkelstein, David Irving can't be far behind. They have long gone together like peas and carrots," or choose your simile. David Irving, for those who don't know, is a Holocaust revisionist. So he believes the Holocaust. I don't know exactly what he says. Either it didn't happen or they all died of disease or it was all fake. So basically a Holocaust denier. And so he's saying that Candace is quickly on her way to just saying the Holocaust didn't happen, which again is, we're jumping to these very wild things for.
Was he the guy who said that like NATO was going to be like the world police and that, you know, they were going to be the sort of enforcing the new world government? Or no, that's David Icke. No, that's David Icke.
Okay, yeah, no. David Irving, as far as I know, is mostly just known for the hollow hoax stuff. And yeah, okay, if Candace starts doing Holocaust denial, okay, that would be alarm bells, but she hasn't. And that's what they're doing here, is we have multiple allegations of just, you know, trying to make Candace Owens adjacent to Holocaust denial. And, you know, Norm Finkelstein, okay, yeah, he's a liberal. He has had spats with a lot of people, you know, we're friendly with. He's very not popular with, you know, a lot of pro-Israel people. But, okay, like, you know, as someone on Twitter I saw mentioned, Candace Owens interviewing Norman Finkelstein. What's next? Tucker Carlson interviewing Glenn Greenwald, which he already has. And if anyone doesn't know, Glenn Greenwald is also a critic of Israel and sympathetic towards Palestine. And again, much like Finkelstein, he's Jewish. Like these people exist. You know, Jews are on the entire ideological spectrum, even on Israel-Palestine. And it's just, I feel like what's going on here is just people have really, it's unsettling that the last month, 2 months, people just have sort of lost their minds over this issue. They're kind of willfully psyching themselves up into these extremely wild takes. They want to be extremely angry. And I worry that, yeah, it's damaging the movement. And it's a lot like the primaries, where people get very attached to either, you know, they're still for Trump, or they decide they're in the tank for DeSantis, or they're Vivek mania, or they're, you know, the five people who supported Mike Pence, or the, you know, one person who supported Doug Burgum, assuming anyone in his, did anyone in his family support him? Hopefully someone did. But, you know, people get all amped up about the primary, and then they decide like, oh, the people very close to them ideologically are actually the biggest enemies and they need to be taken out. And we're doing this over now this Israel-Palestine conflict, it's got this Gaza war, which one might be over soon. They're apparently negotiating a ceasefire right now, and it's in a different country. And overall, like, you know, yes, the terrorist attack is very bad, but it is already in the past at this point. So it is something that is not ongoing. It is something that is in a foreign country. And we're using this as a reason to justify like, oh, Candace Owens has to be expelled from the movement because she is leading us towards the second Holocaust. And I would urge everyone to take a deep breath and, you know, realize that sounds insane. Does that sound insane to anyone else?
Yeah, I mean, that's language I wouldn't use, that, and that's not helpful. But it's, I mean, this is the issue is, and I was trying to get here with Jack, this is not an isolated example of that type of language. We're seeing this thrown around on Twitter. I mean, the relationships and friendships that have been built up for years, the right is fracturing over them. Is it not?
Well, Charlie, I think that's exactly right, because, you know, I'll just say that I don't want to bring up private stuff, but I had dinner earlier this week with a guy who's been involved with one of the primaries that's, you know, not a on the Trump campaign. And it's like, I didn't care. We didn't talk about it, right? We just went on with our lives and went on with our friendship in the real world, because we're not going to go and burn down relationships over things like that. I actually talk to people on all the primary campaigns all the time. I've got friends with them, the ones that have like real campaigns, not like the fake ones like Chris Christie and others, because I've got friends that are supportive of all different, you know, parts of the right. And sure, there's been a lot of online stuff, a lot of online back and forth. But at the end of the day, when people are serious, you just don't do that. When it comes to this, though, I found people very willing to burn down relationships that they've had for a long time over. And when it comes down to it, Charlie, that's what it really gets me, is because can anybody point to something that Candace said that is so horrific, so disastrous, that she should be completely excised and excommunicated from the movement, that we should cut all off in the Church of Scientology? They have this this concept of declaring someone a suppressive person. Blake, I'm betting that you've heard of this one.
A little bit, but you should probably elaborate on before I do.
Okay. When someone is declared a suppressive person, that means they possess a distinct set of characteristics and mental attitudes that cause them to suppress the other people in their vicinity. And this is called antisocial. It's calculated to be disastrous against them. And so when someone is labeled this, it's like an official label that's given by the Church of Scientology to, say, a family member or a friend. That means that every single other member of the church, even if they're your own family, even if they're your immediate family, must cut off contact with you both publicly and privately. You must shun this person. You must disavow this person. Like, who's the one? Leah Remini. She does she left Scientology. So she would be declared a suppressive person. None of the people that she knew in Scientology that are still involved with it are able to even communicate with her anymore, including immediate family. This is what they're trying to do to Candace. And I haven't seen a single thing she said that's been racist, that's been xenophobic, that's been, you know, evil, that's been, you could say there's stuff that you disagree with, that's fine, but shouldn't that be what free speech is all about?
The other takeaway here is I would like everyone to exhaust private speech before public speech. This was my big issue with Ben Shapiro. Mm-hmm. Don't you guys have each other's phone numbers? I don't understand this. Just pick up the phone. Tyler, please.
Sorry, I was just going to say, Charlie, you're 100% right. This is like the number one problem in the conservative movement in general, in the Republican Party. It's like, guys, before you start going on like Fox and like railing against people, it's like, why don't you pick up the phone? Like, I totally appreciate when like things get too far and like you've exhausted all avenues and whatever, and things have to be said because the movement deserves it. But like, it's like, dude, like, you don't need to get in front of crowds of people and like donors and other people and like, you know, hit your own team, especially if you employ the person. Like, I will never understand this about this situation. It's one thing to have disagreements within the movement, within the party, with one or whatever, but how do you like have this problem in your own organization? I just don't get it. I don't understand that. You know, you should be trying to find every avenue possible to try to resolve these issues. It's crazy.
So come to America Fest, everybody, amfest.com, where Candace Owens will be there and Dennis Prager will be there and Tucker Carlson and Patrick Bet-David. Like, I just have to brag on our team. One day I'll be able to tell you the difficulties we had around this particular event and some of the restrictions for a very careful observer. You'll notice that there's a certain type of speaker that isn't there that was there in years past, but I'm not going to say what. But the ability of our team to capture what I think is the best lineup we've ever had at a Turning Point Action, Turning Point USA event: Vivek Ramaswamy, Steve Bannon, Donald Trump Jr., Kimberly Guilfoyle, Josh Hawley, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Matt Gaetz, Mike Lindell, Corey Mills, and Alina Haba with Turning Point Action. Tyler is the maestro conductor of that. That will be the Sunday program, and more to be announced. On Turning Point USA, which is bookending the action deal, is Tucker Carlson, Patrick Bet-David, which he doesn't do a lot of events, everybody. Patrick Bet-David, if there is a stock to buy, I'll tell you what, that guy's stock is ascendant, isn't it, Jack? That guy is getting clipped more than almost anybody I've seen in a long time. He's terrific. Are you in a fight with Patrick Bet-David too, Jack? Am I unaware of this?
Why do you, what is this, like, I'm in a fight with everybody just because I'm in a fight with one guy who's on the entire panel? Suddenly it's like, oh, Poso's in a fight with everybody. He's in a fight with Patrick Bet-David. He's in a fight with Roger Stone. He's in a fight with whoever.
He has a fight.
Right? No, they come at Poso, and Poso doesn't take shots on goal. Poso only wins goals. Poso only scores goals. That's all you ever going to get. See, I don't play games, folks. I win them.
Yeah. Jack, please never refer yourself in the third person. Okay, it's very weird.
Okay. I kind of liked it.
No, it's very like, Kirk isn't going to do this. Kirk isn't going to let that happen on Kirk's podcast. No.
There's a great Seinfeld episode about that. It was George is doing this, and George is doing it. George is angry. George is angry. Candace Owens, Glenn Beck, Rob Schneider, Roseanne Barr, Dennis Prager, Ali Beth Sucky, James O'Keefe, Riley Gaines, Ben Carson, Jason Whitlock. I'll get to the other one in a second. Brandon Tatum, Seth Dillon, Benny Johnson, Yanmi Park, Michael Seifert, James Lindsay, John Amanchukwu, John Benzinger, Pastor Rob McCoy, Lean Munsell, Eric Metaxas, and then Jack Posobiec and Gad Saad will be wrestling in mud.
Is it going to be white mud? Is it going to be, or are we talking like the ice cream kind of mud sort of stuff? Because I've got allergies and I want to make sure.
That's a good segue. Is that the next topic? Is Jack versus Gad? Is that the one, Blake, or no?
Wait, we actually talked. No, we have a much better topic, but I think we have to do our read first.
Yeah. Okay. I want to encourage everyone to buy gold. If you want to buy gold, buy it from Noble Gold Investments. Let me tell you, I'm not giving you investment advice, but if you want to buy gold, go to noblegoldinvestments.com. That's noblegoldinvestments.com. Let me tell you about them. It's run by Colin Plume. He does an amazing job. Noble Gold Investments is seeing a surge of gold buyers. It's pushing gold than $2,000. It shouldn't be surprising. We're practically at war against Russia. The government has guaranteed all deposits, the second largest and third largest bank run in history. And this means more money printing. The Fed has just raised interest rates by another quarter basis point. And the people who are not afraid are those invested in gold with Noble Gold Investments. Gold is the most stable asset outside of any government control. From billionaires to multimillionaires to institutional investors, Noble Gold Investments is seeing a massive, unprecedented gold buying spree. So hurry and go to Noble Gold Investments right now and secure your wealth. Use promo code Charlie to bag a free 5 ounce America's Beautiful coin with each gold or silver IRA if you qualify. That is noblegoldinvestments.com. Noblegoldinvestments.com. You should check it out right now. Promo code Charlie, noblegoldinvestments.com. They do an amazing job. Noblegoldinvestments.com. That's right. It was Jimmy. That's right. It was Jimmy is bad. Jimmy scored a goal. Jimmy is playing. Jimmy is this. That's right. I remember. Blake, what is our next topic?
This is a great one. So as we all know, a big historical movie came out this week. It's Napoleon. Apparently it's terrible. So we're not going to say anything more about that. Instead, we're going to look ahead to the next historical movie that will disappoint us. And that is they have announced that at Netflix, they're going to be making a movie about the famous Carthaginian general Hannibal, bane of the Roman Republic. And it's going to star Denzel Washington. It's been a project that's been in development hell, I think, for about 20 years now. So the actual General Hannibal was about 30 when he took on Rome. Denzel Washington is like twice that, more actually. But he's still going to play Hannibal, whatever. And so, you know, maybe the movie will be good, maybe it'll be bad. But there's an interesting thing about this, which is, Denzel Washington is black, of course. And so they're going to be portraying Hannibal as African. And so this is Carthage is in modern Tunisia. It is in Africa, but the Carthaginians themselves were actually they probably would have looked kind of looked like Israelis to us or Middle Easterners. They were Phoenicians. Their homeland was in kind of modern Lebanon, and they built all these colonies across the Middle East. They had a maritime empire, and they're the ones who fought Rome. But now it is they're going to be portrayed as fully African, which is kind of a common argument people have made, kind of much like how they argued that the Egyptian pharaohs may have been African and the pyramids were built by black Africans. And this pairs with another
argument, Blake.
Yeah, and this pairs with another story that also came out this week. There is a wild story from the British broadcasting company in the once free nation of Great Britain. This headline really has to be heard to be believed. Black women most likely to die in medieval plague, Museum of London says. And so this is no joke. Some researchers at the Museum of London dug up some skeletons from a medieval grave, and they started measuring the skulls exactly like you would do in like 1800s, you know, kind of what we would call like racist pseudoscience today, where they just measure skulls and kind of derive racial traits from this. And that's always bad. You're not supposed to do that, except if you're doing it to say that white people are bad, which is what they were doing here. So they measured these skulls of people who died in the Black Death in about 1350. And they said, based on these skull measurements, we think that these skeletons are of black people. And then they said black people were proportionally more likely to have died in this cemetery that is for plague victims. And so we believe that black people were more likely to die in 1300s London than white people from the Black Death, the bubonic plague, because of systemic racism in 1300s England. Now, a few contextual things here before we dig into it. One, in 1350, the Portuguese hadn't even, you know, gotten past the Sahara yet, so we did not have the ability to sail to Central Africa, where, you know, sub-Saharan Africans live. There are really no sources on Africans being in London at this time. I'm sure one might have popped up as a novelty, but they seem to be arguing that London was about 8 to 10% black like it is today. And then I guess they just all disappeared. Perhaps the Black Death killed them. And that's why London didn't have any of them from 1400 until, you know, the 20th century. And so that's what the BBC is writing about. That systemic racism is what killed medieval British diversity. And otherwise they would have been exactly as diverse as today. But no more. And so I guess the big picture is, well, I don't know. You guys tell me. It seems like we have this trend of taking historical figures and making them black, which we don't ever really do. I mean, we certainly don't ever allow that today in the opposite direction. I think if you made a biopic where Frederick Douglass was played by Keanu Reeves or something, people would get pretty angry about it. And also, I just don't think you'd have people going around measuring skulls in any context other than arguing that medieval London was full of racism.
Well, so this has been the thing for me is it's not even the, you know, the Denzel, Hannibal, et cetera, piece, because this is a huge meme, of course, right, for Netflix, that every time Netflix does a biopic, they always have to race swap it to do this sort of like woke casting. And so you have to pay the woke toll to get on Netflix. And so the original setup for this was that you had to include like some LGBT content, even if it was shoehorned in, even if it had nothing to do with the plot whatsoever. There had to be some sort of woke toll that was paid on any Netflix. And then, of course, the casting of it has really turned into this meme. And so it seems as though they're playing into that very same trope that Netflix, they're just leaning into the meme, basically, that Netflix wants to go ahead and make this for everybody. But I guess what's more interesting to me isn't so much the fact that they're doing it, but the fact that even in the UK, especially when it comes to BBC and especially when it comes to their dramas, their history, their news, this like this article that came out today about the Black Plague, that it seems like they're going through this huge push where they're trying to, you know, revamp their history to make it, quote unquote, equitable or more in line with what today's demographics are. And you didn't see that for the longest time in any historical perspective. I would argue, though, that one of the first places that we saw that was the musical Hamilton, where they went in and race swapped all of the founding fathers and decided to make them, you know, not British. And Lin-Manuel Miranda is what, like Puerto Rican and all these different things. And I remember getting into discussions with people at the time, I think it was, 2014, 2015, when that came out. And I was like, okay, why are we doing this? They're obviously British. And they said, well, that makes it more equitable for the people who live there now to be able to feel that they've got a strong tie into the past of America. And you see it in England as well. They have like children's songs. We're going to try to get the song up here, where they're teaching kids that Black people have always been around in England, when it's like, that's just, you're just lying. You're just absolutely lying to people and saying that this has always been this way. It's totally normal. Everyone's been like this. And I think that's kind of insane. Blake, you were noticing too, I think we were chatting before the show about the show Bridgerton or something, how the books aren't even like that, but they changed it for the show as well.
Oh, it's a super bizarre one. So Bridgerton is a series. I think it's on Netflix or one of the streaming services.
Yeah.
And what's unbelievable about it, first of all, don't watch it. It's incredibly dirty. It's one of those shows where they just throw in heaps of sex and nudity, but it's prestige television. So you're not watching porn, everyone. You're watching very serious television. And so it's based on a series of romance novels that are set in Regency era England, so the early 1800s. And the books are just normal romance books. You know, women read them. I don't. But when they made the adaptation, what they did is they made an extremely high share of the characters Black, much higher than it actually even is in England today. And this required an entire alternate history setup, where the idea was there was a member of the British royal family in the 1700s, I want to say, who was, you know, slightly darker than usual, and it was because she had some blood from, I think, Iberia, like Portugal. And so they turned this from, oh, she was slightly dusky because she had some Iberian blood, to, we're going to imagine that she was Black somehow, even though she was a princess from Germany, and no one else comments, and none of the portraits portray her this way. But we're going to imagine that she was Black, and then her marrying into the British royal family caused a rejection of racism, and so they got rid of slavery earlier, and then they had Black people incorporate into the British upper class. And so that is why now in our adaptation of Bridgerton, there are Black people everywhere in what is otherwise a period romance drama set in, you know, 1815. And that's what they did. That was Bridgerton.
We've got the song. Are you guys ready for this?
God help us.
Number, let's play clip
Hastings?
I think we're all missing the point here, though, which is that even if all of that didn't happen, right?
And it mostly didn't. A lot of it didn't happen.
Estelle still would have had to wait for racism to make its way through America for Kanye to come up through the ranks, right? Down the line.
Oh, here comes the alt-right talk.
Well, I'm saying to sing the song American Boy.
Yeah. Oh, hey, Tyler, why don't you just throw up a salute to your Führer here?
Estelle is the most famous Black female artist.
Yeah.
Estelle's the most famous Black female artist from England ever. One of the greatest songs ever was Kanye and Estelle. What?
I don't even know Estelle. I've never even heard of this person. I don't.
You know American Boy?
Probably not. Actually,
we can't play it because I'll get us kicked off. Oh, we're on Rumble.
I guess we could play it. I'd rather not. Not after that last song that they inflicted on us.
Well, you
I'm
know,
still having
that's
my mind
one of the greatest jams ever. Is Kanye West and Estelle singing American Boy? It's that. Do you guys not know? This is like one of the greatest. This is like top of chart stuff. But the whole point is it. You know, the
yeah,
line had
I
to.
I don't listen to whatever like Nazi radio station you listen to.
This is woke. This is woke stuff.
I'm you not, have to listen. Tyler, I must not be not if,
listening to
not
the new
this
Kanye.
Is woke Kanye.
Not if the Fuhrer Kanye did it.
This was.
Whoa,
this was
now
early
the mustache
Kanye.
Seems a little bit different there, Tyler.
Yeah, yeah. Do you
now
need us to, get,
takes
do you just
the
to shave it down, get a trimmer, Tyler?
So you can fit it in your gas mask, right?
Wait, you guys aren't familiar with the most famous black artist coming out of England?
No, I don't listen to any music that was made after probably after Nirvana's Nevermind came out, because that's when music went bad. So I
please,
just listen to
please tell
music.
Me all you guys in the studio are American Boy fans. Come on. No yeah,
we're
there
on
it
island
is
here.
We got it. We get producer Angela dropped it in the chat.
Oh, Andrew probably watches that crap.
Andrew knows it. Andrew had this on his MP3 CDs probably back in the day.
Did you say MP3 CDs?
Yeah. Remember this? Remember the MP3 CDs?
No. No, okay, I guess I do. Yeah. There was
I
like
remember
that,
MP3 CDs.
There was that
yeah.
2-3 year period where having a CD burner on your computer.
Dude,
I
picked up my Chevy Silverado. I have a great story. Chevy Silverado, all white.
Did you drive it to the levee because the levee was dry?
Silverado, single cab.
And
it said, the license
plate
said Riding Clean. And I turned on the radio and this track is on repeat. It's the Estelle song. It's the American Boy song.
Because his MP3 CD was actually skipping. And that's the only thing I could hear over and over and over. Yo, in all seriousness, just side tangent, but do you ever notice that nobody mentions ever missing CDs? Like, we all kind of knew that inherently that technology was awful. They never worked. They were so cheap, so disposable. They were so hard to use. I think we all hated them for, like, I don't know, 15 years. And now that they're gone, not a single person misses them.
I think
you're
the first
person. We'll go back to LPs
person,
and vinyl. That's great. But, yeah.
You're the first person I ever know of to describe a CD as hard to use. Like, were you confused which side to put on top when you looked at it?
No, not hard to use. Hard to maintain. Right. So the idea, you could like look at a CD and it would stop working.
I didn't have this experience. You know, maybe the Posobiec household was different, but no, nah, but they're fine. I think the best symbol of that was I only learned that my computer didn't have a disk drive about 2 years after I bought it. That was the first time I ever thought, oh, I should put a CD in my computer. And oh, I can't. And so that is how
I noticed that too.
They
yeah. They're all gone now.
Yeah.
And nobody seems to care. Well, you know, what's funny is my kid. We got one of those, like, I don't know, we got some kids, you know, like reading book, like, you know, kids first reader or whatever. And it had a CD in the back and he was looking at it going, he was like, Daddy, what is this? And I was like, oh, it's, I guess it comes with a CD. And he goes, where do we play it? And I'm thinking, I don't have a CD player anywhere in the house. I had one in my car. So I said, let's go to the car and play it. And sure enough, it was a book on tape.
Yeah. We're not being offensive enough here, so let's go back to the thought crime topic. Just
wait, do we have the clip from the music video?
God, are you going to make me listen to it?
Oh, we're cutting it right
They're
now.
Cutting it. Okay,
right,
so before we get to that, but, you know, obviously you don't need everything to be 100%, you know, race matched in a fictional movie. Sometimes this goes insane. They did this movie, Memoirs of a Geisha, like 15 years ago, and it had a Chinese woman playing the Japanese geisha, and some people freaked out about this. We don't need to go that far. You have some give here. But what annoys people is just when they feel like their art is designed as political propaganda at them. And I think that's what a lot of people will worry about, you know, with this Hannibal movie. It's obviously what's going on with something like Bridgerton, that we're going to make this thing totally not what matched reality and you're going to accept it.
I'm so glad that you brought the Bridgerton thing. I didn't even know this was coming today, because I walked in on my wife watching Bridgerton with this going on, and I was like, "What are you watching? Like, what is this? There's no way this." I was like, "Is this supposed to be like? Is this like?" So I asked my wife. I was like, "Is this fiction? Clearly?" And she's like, yeah, I mean, I think it's historical fiction. I'm like, well, it's not historical fiction.
See, there's a deeper thing here. The reason this propaganda works so well is because a lot of women don't know any history.
Well, this is
so
like very this is like the Romans thing, the Roman Empire thing.
Yeah, we're just
I start asking questions, because then I was like, I'm totally disinterested with Bridgerton, by the way. Like, whatever, however long she's been watching this crap forever, I just don't care. I just watch it. I walk by it casually while she's watching it. But when this came out, I started asking questions. I was like, so where, what principality is she from? Like, where did she come from? I was like,
right.
Like, can you explain this? So I started having this like dialogue with my wife. It's the most I've ever cared about Bridgerton was like how, and then she's like, oh, I don't know. Like, it's just, I'm like, where does she get that British accent from? Like, why does she have an accent from like whatever prince? I think she's from somewhere else. I'm like, no, this is all just made up. How does this not like just bother you the entire time you're watching it? This isn't like accurate historical fiction.
Not watch any of my crap.
And then the most important part too, if that truly happened, then we never would have got American Boy out of this.
You and your
so American what you're saying is obsession. That Meghan Markle isn't the first black royal.
No, you want to have Meghan Markle.
Actually Prince Harry is part black already.
No, then. Prince Harry would have been black.
No, what I'm saying, but he's already part black if this is true. Or is he just, or Blake, is he just part dusky?
I'm not sure. I think Bridgerton doesn't go that high in, well, maybe it does. I don't
let's
know.
Cut, let's cut
it.
To Kanye.
Like cut 74.
Number one champion sound. Yeah, Estelle, we about to get down. Who the hottest in the world right now? Just touched down in London town. Bet they give me a pound. Tell them put the money in my hand right now. Set up a motor, we need more seats. We just sold out all the floor seats.
Take me on a trip, I'd like to go somewhere. Take me to New York, I'd love to see her.
Who killing them in the UK? Everybody gonna say UK. Reluctantly, cause most of this press don't f*** with me. Estelle once said, tell me cool down, down. Don't act a fool now, now. Always act a fool, ow, ow. Ain't nothing
new. There's a part where she talks about it being 5'9".
Be crazy, I know what you're thinking. Rapping, I know what you're drinking. Rap singer, chain blinger. Holla at the next chick soon as you're blinking. What's your persona?
Okay. It's fine.
Wait, actually, to be fair, I didn't know that was a Kanye song, but I have heard the Fortnite parody of it. That's how I know it.
Oh well, yeah, that's what the Fortnite kid song is from.
Yeah,
I've also heard that song somewhere before. I don't just need to ever hear it again.
You
probably heard the Fortnite version.
Good music is like candy. You throw
no, but she talks about him being 5'9" in this.
Ooh,
I mean, Kanye's
number one victory royale. Yeah, Fortnite.
Does she say like?
Down.
Does she say like you like Ron DeSantis in 5-inch heels?
Yeah, pretty close. I mean, I think probably Kanye had to wear heels in this. She's in heels, so she must be tiny.
This is what people don't understand. It's not about Bridgerton, it was never about tall. The heels. It was about the insecurity and the lies. It was about the lies. That's the issue. Like, nobody cares if you wear heels, but the fact it's like also like a Seinfeld episode, right, Charlie? The you know, George, are those Timberlands with black Sharpie all over them?
It's the episode India, when they went. Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Wasn't that also the backwards episode?
Yeah, that's right. Where everything went backwards. Deep web reveal, Blake.
Do we have one today?
Well, we don't have a deep web reveal.
Oh, I don't think so. Not this time.
Right. And therefore, our deep
something we're
reveal,
thankful for.
Like, explain yourself. Why are you going to Krakow for Thanksgiving?
Because it's way cooler than, you know, no offense. I love my family, but I also like going to extremely distant countries to look at their extremely old things because I was born in South Dakota, which has no history whatsoever. The oldest settlement in South Dakota is like 150 years old. There are like toilets in Poland that are older than that. And so I'm loaded for bear. I'm going for 10 days and I can exploit America's lovely long holiday weekend to be gone for a longer length of time.
Wait, did you know that Poland is the number one producer of turkey per capita in the world?
Ooh. Well, they're also good at killing people from Turkey.
It makes perfect sense to go get... Yeah. It makes perfect sense to go get turkey meat from Poland, though.
Also,
it's the number
as
one.
My dad pointed out, I want to go to a country where I'll be the smartest person there.
Are you going
to
eat turkey while you're there?
Probably not.
Jack, do they eat turkey? Do they celebrate turkey in the fall, winter?
I mean, yeah, you can get turkey in Poland, but no, Thanksgiving is not celebrated anywhere else.
Well, I know Thanksgiving is not celebrated, but do they eat a lot of turkey? Like, do you like cook a turkey there?
Jack, do they put screen doors on planes in the Polish national airway?
Yeah, all day long. Mm-hmm. You know what else they do is they bring in a bunch of Palestinian immigrants from Gaza. Oh, no, wait, that's Germany. Sorry, that's Germany doing that. Sorry, my bad.
Well, everybody have a great Thanksgiving. Blake, safe journeys to Krakow. God bless you. Tyler, hope things work out with the Air Force. And have a great Thanksgiving, everybody. God bless, and we'll see you next week. Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.
Turbulent times call for clear-headed insight. That's hard to come by these days, especially on TV. That's where we come in. Salem News Channel has the greatest collection of conservative minds all in one place. People you know and trust, like Dennis Prager, Eric Metaxas, Charlie Kirk, and more. Unfiltered, unapologetic truth. Find what you're searching for at snc.tv and on Local Now, Channel 525.